Amen. Appreciate that. Choir, 2 Samuel. Hey, if while people were giving their salvation testimony, I've talked to a lot of people and I asked them, are you saved? They said, yeah. So how'd you get saved? And they responded with this, well, I just am. I've always been. I said, no. There's got to come a time when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. When you ask Him to forgive you of your sins. And you know what? He'll do it. There's no charge. He paid for the whole thing. But if we went around it to each person tonight, what's your testimony? Do you know for sure? What would you say? Hey, there were some young people that shared a simple testimony, and they know for sure. There's some older people. Well, I've been in this church. Doesn't matter how long you've been in church. Have you put your faith and trust in Christ? Find ourselves in 2 Samuel tonight, and go to 2 Samuel, actually, go to chapter 4. We'll start our story there. First king of Israel is Saul. Saul has a son. His name is Jonathan. Jonathan has a son, and the Bible says in verse 4, and Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame on his feet. Wasn't born that way. There was an accident. The Bible says he was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel, and the nurse took him up and fled, and it came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. Lord, I'm sure there was a lot of stories and a lot of circumstances and a lot of people that you could have put in the scriptures. But you put in the story of Mephibosheth. He wasn't a king. He was the grandson of a king. But Lord, I believe you put him in there to remind us of how you demonstrated your mercy and your grace in our life. God, as we read the story tonight, that we'll be reminded in our heart of how you came and found us out. You saved us and you put us at your table and loved us and cared for us. Lord, we'll just be reminded again of how much you truly care for us. Lord, bless this time now in Jesus' name. Amen. Man, this story is a sweet story. Starts off rough. Again, here we are, holiday time. Maybe you got the Hallmark movie channel fired up at your house. Hey, be careful with that. Just because it's on Hallmark doesn't mean it's good. I saw a preview the other day of a Hallmark movie that I looked at my daughter, I said, absolutely not, turn this thing off. Not that she was trying to watch it was just an ad, but my goodness. As the way the world goes, right? And we understand what we're talking about there. I have a giant tear across my glasses, I'm sorry. You start thinking about God's grace and sometimes it comes out your eyes, Brother Sutliff. I'm just telling you. Yeah, he just squeezes them out. But here we are telling a story in it. This is a real life. This is really what happened. It was a young boy, and he's being carried by his nurse. And the Bible says that she tripped and fell. Fell so hard, and the child fell in such a way that he was lame. That means both his legs didn't work. Couldn't walk. Don't know if he hit his back. Don't know if he hit his neck. Don't know why he hit. But for whatever reason, he became lame. Wasn't born that way. That means a little five-year-old running around like five-year-olds do. Into stuff. Eli, you can identify. Eli, how old are you? 4. So we get the idea. Mephibosheth sitting right up in the front row. Amen. And that nurse in care for him, running, trips and falls, and what happens? He goes lame. The fall caused his lameness. There was a fall that caused yours and mine. Happened a long time ago, way back in the garden. The fall of mankind. And because of that, I was lame. Now, look with me in Matthew chapter number 15. My kids are like, oh yeah, Dad, you're lame, all right. Not that kind of lame. No, lame, unable to walk, unable to move, unable to... That means he had to be completely dependent on somebody else to help meet his needs. Today, if you build a building, a community building, or with an expectation that that community can come in, it has got to be handicap accessible. You're not even allowed to make buildings anymore that are open to the community without the provisions. Matt and I, when we went camping there, down south by Bristol, there were trails through the woods, and they had a handicap trail. Fantastic. Super wide, paved right through the middle of the woods. And it gets you to this beautiful lookout point. So if you have special needs, they didn't have that stuff back then. Mephibosheth, when he fell, wasn't part of he wasn't getting a special parking spot. He didn't get special aid. No, he depended on others to have his needs met. That's a rough life. How many of you like depending on somebody else to help? No, we like being independent, right? Oh, that's why we drive ourselves places, right? I don't want to have to bother anybody. When I'm ready to go, hey, that wasn't Mephibosheth's life. As a 5-year-old, his life forever changed. You know what? You can get bitter. But he seemed to keep a humble heart, didn't he? And you know what? The Lord Jesus Christ, the same thing happened to you and I. Because of the fall of mankind, we were lame. The Bible says this in Matthew chapter 15, verse 29. And Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee and went up into a mountain and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet and healed them. I'm glad to know that even in my spiritual lameness, meaning my inability to do any sort of movement towards God, someone came by, brought me to Jesus. Isn't that what happened? And great multitudes came unto him, having with them and many others, and just cast them down at Jesus' feet. Here, fix him. And that's exactly what he did in yours, your life and my life. Someone brought me to Christ. Someone introduced me to the grace of God. Someone told me about how Jesus died on the cross and paid for my sin. And just was kind of like, here. And there I found myself at Jesus' feet. And as a 10-year-old boy, I asked Jesus to save me. You know what? He did. And so much that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to behold, the lame to walk, and the blind to see. And they glorified the God of Israel. Hey, God made a change in my life. I was all that. I was blind. I couldn't see. I was blinded by sin. The Lord Jesus Christ took those blinders off, gave me a new life in Him. Mephibosheth, he was fallen. He was fallen. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. All of us. We're all fallen. We're all lame. We all need Christ. Thankful that, you know, each one of those things that we read here, lame, blind, dumb, maimed, those were all permanent ailments. You don't get better from being lame. For the most part, if you're blind, you're blind. That's it. Unable to speak, that's what dumb means. Maimed. I just read a story about a guy who was running a farm combine and lost both his arms. Surprisingly, got himself to a phone, with a pencil in his mouth, dialed 911. Dramatically, they were able to reattach his arms, and now he's using them. For the most part, that doesn't happen too often. When you're maimed, that's it. These are permanent problems. Hey, that's what sin is. Sin's a permanent problem unless it's fixed by the healer. Praise the Lord, we got somewhere to go. Hey, young people, listen. When you're in the biggest of trouble of your life, the best thing to do is go to God. Amen. The best thing. Ladies, when you're up against it and you're not sure, is this the guy? Is this the path? Is this what I'm supposed to be doing? Hey, don't run from the Lord. Run to the Lord. Bring those problems. Hey, I've made mistakes. I've messed things up. Hey, what should you do? You should fall down at Jesus' feet. Best thing. Best thing you could do. Mephibosheth was what? He was fallen. But then, go with me to 2 Samuel chapter number 9. We'd look at that and we'd make meals for this family. Right? Something like that. Man, how sad that is. Lady was just trying to get away, trying to protect the child and a five-year-old, and an accident happened. How bad would that lady feel? There's Mephibosheth. 2 Samuel chapter number 9. Saul is no longer king, nor is his son Jonathan. David is. In chapter 9, verse 1, and David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness, not for Saul's sake, but for Jonathan's sake." Do you remember the relationship between David and Jonathan? Caleb, do you remember that? They were very close. They were best friends. They loved each other. They watched out for one another. Hey, Jonathan was the rightful heir to the throne, but knew that David should take it. Jonathan and Saul both die in the same battle. David is now king, and he's looking for someone from the house of Jonathan. In verse 2, "For there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, Art thou Ziba? And he said, Thy servant is he." Would you get nervous if the king called you? Absolutely, especially when you are on the other side. And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" Can I just have you mark that in your Bible? Just think about that. Shouldn't we be asking ourselves that question? Hey, is there anybody? God, can you bring me somebody that I could show your kindness to? Not my kindness, but the kindness of God. And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet." And the king said unto him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said unto him, the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Maker, the son of Amiel, in Lodabar." Lodabar was known for having no pasture, no life. It was a wasteland. And that's where Mephibosheth lived. Lame. All right, we have animals at our house. They're weird, they're dumb, and they just like looking out the windows. There's a chair right by the window, and he'll just go, and he'll put his head right on top of that chair, and he'll cross his little, and he'll just look out the window. Just, where's Abby, right? He just does that. And he'll do that for all day, literally all day. Watching for squirrels, watching for the black cat across the way. Maggie's taken up to it. She's sitting up in the window. Now they're kind of sharing a window, which is kind of because they don't like each other. Maggie's our cat, if you don't know. We have a cat. She's pretty much deaf, partially blind. We think she has maybe diabetes or something else. She's got a lot of issues. She's sick. She has a real respiratory problem. Sam? Yes. Okay. This is probably her last winter. But we've had a good run. We have had a really good run. But they'll just watch out the window. They'll watch birds, they'll watch. And I was just thinking about a lame man sitting by the window looking out in Lodabar, but it's a wasteland. Nothing to look at. No hope, no purpose, no use. Nobody wants him. Why does anybody want him? Because he's of no benefit. He brings nothing to society. There's nothing he can do. He can't work in the armory. He can't, anything. It's a hassle to have anything to do with Mephibosheth. Why? Because he's lame. And David says, where is he? He went to go find him. He's dwelling in an obscure place, maybe hidden himself from the king. You know what? Just like the king sought out Mephibosheth, the Lord sought you and I out. The Bible tells me I didn't go looking for him. He came looking for me. Now I'm thankful for the free will that when presented, he gave me a choice to choose him. But he certainly came looking for me first. He left the glories of heaven to came to this earth. But personally in my life, he worked circumstances. Looking back now, those 30 plus years ago, I can see God's hand in our life. God sought us out. Isn't that good to know? Look at Romans chapter number 3. Romans chapter number 3. Bible says this in verse 11. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. God came looking for me. Look at John chapter number 6. John chapter number 6. Look at verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. God came looking for us. I'm thankful for that. Mephibosheth, he was fallen, but he was also found. He was found by the king. Go back to 2 Samuel chapter number 9. Are you seeing your life play out in these verses? Fallen by the sin of mankind, carrying on the weight of the sin of Adam, yet Jesus Christ came by your way, found you out. Here, look at this. Not only did he find us out, look at chapter 9 and verse 5, 2 Samuel 9, 5. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Maker, son of Amiel, from Lodabar, and when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, behold, thy servant. Do you see this man's simple heart, humble heart? Not bitter, not upset. Hey, if it wasn't for you, the nurse wouldn't have been running. Had there not been contention, had there not been problems. Here, let me tell you my story. I should have been on the throne. There should have been something coming to me. But for the last number of years, I've been in hiding. Because of you? No, not at all. Behold thy servant, he says. David said unto him, fear not, for I will show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. Number one, he was fallen. Number two, he was found. Number three, he was favored. He was showed kindness for Jonathan's sake. You know, it reminds me in Luke chapter number 1, Mary was favored among women. What happened? The Lord saw something in her and did something amazing through her. Remember Ruth? There she was, and she met. Go to Ruth chapter number 2. Actually, to the left in your Bible. Joshua Judges, Ruth. Ruth chapter number 2. Here this woman is greatly lacking. And the Bible says in Ruth chapter 2 and verse 11, and Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath been fully hath been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and are come unto a people which thou knowest not heretofore. Boaz says, I know your story. We're in Ruth chapter number 2 and verse 12. And the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings art thou come to trust. Then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord. And she certainly finds that. Much like Mephibosheth that day found favor in the sight of the king. Hey, you and I have found favor in God's sight. Look at, we were dead in our trespasses and sins, but saved by God's grace through faith. Go with me to Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians 2, starting in verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. That's you fallen. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince, the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God. There Mephibosheth laid, lame, in Lodabar, with no hope, no purpose, no direction, no opportunity for growth, nothing. But the king. There you lay, with no hope, no purpose, no direction. But God. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. The king showed up to Mephibosheth and he says, I'd like to show you kindness on the behalf of somebody else. The father showed up one day and said, I'd like to show you kindness on the behalf of my son. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. That day, unexpected mercy and grace showed up at Mephibosheth's door. And you know what? That day I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That day you asked the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior. Unexpected mercy and grace. There you were, lame, without hope, without purpose, without direction. But God came by your way and said, I've got an offer for you. Let me tell you about you. Let me tell you about eternity. Let me tell you about my son. And then there you were able to decide and took up God on his gift and his offer. And our eternity is forever changed. 2 Samuel chapter number 9. Mephibosheth, he was fallen. He was found. He was favored. Look at verse 7, though. And David said unto him, fear not. He was fearful. Why would he be fearful? Because descendants of former kings were slain. Isn't that good to know that our old life is gone? We walk in newness of life in that passage that we just read. We were just there. We walk in newness of life. Isn't that blessing? I don't have to worry about the consequences anymore of that old life anymore. Man, praise the Lord for that. Oh, sure, there's consequence to sin. Don't get me wrong. But not eternal. Man, isn't that a blessing? That old life is gone. Lastly, 2 Samuel chapter number 9, look at verse 8. And he bowed himself and said, "What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?" Don't ever feel like that with the Lord? What am I doing here? Why have you showed me such kindness and love, Lord? Then the king called to Ziba. Because, listen, it's going to get better. Well, wait till you see this. Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, "I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to his house. Now therefore, and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits, and that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. And the king shows up here and just blesses Mephibosheth. In verse 11, "Then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons." There's some pretty strong words that God reminds us about us before we came to Him. We were enemies, and now we're the son of a king. The Bible says, "And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table, and was lame on both his feet." And for the rest of his days, he got to eat at the king's table. There's more to the story. There's some deception that happens with Ziba, but it works out in the end. But we find ourselves, when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we get in on something, some promises, some great and precious promises, the Bible tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. And John 10:10, it says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Since coming to Christ, I dare say our life has been an abundant life. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, just a couple more verses and then we're done. 2 Kings chapter number 1. Is that what I said? Hold on. 2 Kings chapter number 1. No. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. I blame you, Nate. I don't know how, but it was your fault. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse 20. I don't care where you're at this point. We're just going to go with that verse. "For all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him amen, unto the glory of God by us." God makes us promises that He can never go back on. And He says, "Mephibosheth, you're going to sit at my table, and for the rest of your days, you'll sit at the king's table." And that's us. Lame. Without any hope, without any purpose, without any direction. And then overnight, we find ourselves sitting at the king's table. Galatians chapter number 4. I mean it, Galatians 4. Verse 1, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the appointed time of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of this world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son in our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." That's what we got a hold of. There we were, sitting in Lodabar Lane. And the king came knocking on our heart's door and says, I have a proposition for you. And the Lord came by our way and says, I have something to offer you, not for your sake, but for my Son Jesus Christ's sake. I would like to show you kindness. And there we find ourselves sitting at the king's table. On our own, we do not have power to get to the king's table. We had to be brought there. The Father sent the Holy Spirit to find the household of Adam and that he might show kindness for Jesus' sake. As a young man, his life was just riddled with sin. For 10 years, he was involved in the African slave trade. That means he would ride a boat, go to Africa, pick up humans, and then transport them to other countries and sell them as property. It was wrong, it's evil, and wicked. His name was John Newton. His epitaph reads this: John Newton, clerk, once an infidel, a servant of slaves in Africa, was by the rich mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ preserved, restored, pardoned, and appointed to preach the faith he had long labored to destroy. Grace did not free him to serve no master, but a new master. John Newton said this: I am not what I might be. I am not what I ought to be. I am not what I wish to be. I am not what I hope to be, but I thank God that I am not what I once was. And I can say with the great apostle, by the grace of God, I am what I am. If you don't know John Newton is the author of the beautiful hymn, Amazing Grace. Once a slave trader, saved by the grace of God, forever changed. Not sure if you know your story, but once a lame, wicked sinner, sitting in the outskirts, hiding from the king, till the king came by your way and brought you to his table on the behalf of somebody else. And now, for the rest of our days, we have the privilege of sitting with the king. At any moment, Mephibosheth could ask the king, King David, I have a question. At any moment, you could talk to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords as you're seated at his table. What a beautiful story of unexpected mercy and grace. Let's all stand here tonight. If you're not for sure about your salvation, if you don't know for sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior, if you couldn't tell your story here tonight, whether you're 7 or 8, if you're little, I'll send you to your parents. If you're older, and I'd love to show you from the Scriptures. But do you remember that you were fallen, but then found? And the Lord showed you nothing but kindness. He has favored you. Sure, you might have been fearful to be around him. Why? Because you know what he's capable of, his judgment. But the Bible said that that was gone. The old life is dead. We now walk in newness of life. And here we feast at the king's table. It touches my heart. In a moment, the music's going to play. Maybe we just come and thank God. Thank God for the invitation to his table. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, tonight would be the night. Tonight would be the night that you put your faith and trust in Christ. Why wouldn't you? The king is knocking at the door in Lodabar saying, why don't you come sit at my table? Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for this passage, reminding us of what our story was and how you came looking for us. Lord, I had no way of getting to your table. Thank you for bringing me. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for your kindness and love. I pray if someone here tonight isn't saved, that tonight would be the night. Lord, bless this time of invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here tonight?